Deuteronomy chapter 10. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1. At that time, the Lord said unto me, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And that would be for the Ark of the Covenant. 2. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. Now, God told Moses that he broke them, but he did not reprimand him for doing that. Verse 3, And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in my hands. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spoke unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. Verse 5, And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. So Moses poured out his heart in prayer, and God responded by saying, Get two more tablets or tables, and I'll write the Ten Commandments down again. In other words, it looks like God decided to spare Israel after all, because that was the issue in chapter 9. Verse 6, And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jaakan to Mazarah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. And that would be the office of the high priest. Verse 7. From thence they journeyed unto Gadgada, and from Gadgada to Jotbath, a land of rivers of waters. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi has no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord your God promised him. Aaron actually died on Mount Hor. Evidently, Mazarah was the district which included Mount Hor. Verse 10, And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy you. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore unto their fathers to give unto them. And what a gracious, what a merciful turnaround by God. Instead of destroying the people, he instructs Moses to head to the promised land. 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. God has made his case over the last two chapters. Israel has no reason to feel self-sufficient or conceited. They certainly are not righteous and they certainly are not good. God has made that clear. Their only hope for survival is to make a complete commitment to God. God will bless if they love Him. God wants us Christians to be committed to Him, not just because He deserves it, but for our own good, for our own survival. 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, your God. The earth also, with all that therein is. So God is the creator of all things. God is the owner of all things. 15. Only the Lord had a delight in your fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. If they needed another reason to be sold out to God, how about that one? Everything, everyone, everywhere belongs to Him. And think about it, Israel. Out of everything God owns, which is everything, He picked you to be His favorite treasure. 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. An uncircumcised heart is a stubborn attitude that will not bow to the will of God. So if Israel is going to walk with the Lord, then the first thing they need to do is bow their will to His, because that's the only way we can do it. We have to conform to Him. 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regards not persons, nor takes reward. If Israel thinks that they can rebel and survive by a sympathy vote from God, they don't understand the real God. And they should know that by now. 18. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. And this is a verse that simply drives home the point that God is just. Others may overlook justice toward the weak, but God will step in and make it happen Himself eventually if He needs to. 19. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him shall you serve, and to Him shall you cleave and swear by His name. He is your praise, and He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, 70 people, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven for multitude. And that fulfills God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 5. But the question is, how does God know, or I should say, how does Israel know that a commitment to God is going to pay off big? How do they know? Because that's what God is asking. Because God has already kept a portion of His promise to Abraham. If God promised that Abraham's seed would be as numerous as the stars, and they now are, well, then the rest of His promises are as good as done as well. If people keep up their end of the deal and confessing when they fail, because who does not fail?